Welcome back, The Lighter Side, Joe and Tom, and we're going to continue our series for the Outlook, the Metropolitan Division. Last time we talked the top three teams in the Metro Division, the Washington Capitals, Philadelphia Flyers, and Pittsburgh Penguins. Today we're talking the Carolina, Columbus, and the New York Islanders. Tom, welcome in. How's it going?
Joe, doing well. Working on the playoff beard. I'm getting fired up, so.
Yeah, every day that goes by is a day closer now.
It is, and looks like it might happen. And they're talking about July 10th, teams getting to their training camps. So pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, less than a month away. It'll be good once it's finally here.
Yeah, I'm not sure they settled on a hub city yet, though, and that'll be interesting. I'm not sure if they narrowed that list down that we brought up.
I heard Vegas brought up again. Yes. Was getting ready to be announced. I don't see if that they announced it, at least as of today.
You're figuring, maybe one U.S. city and one Canadian, perhaps?
I would think that's what they'll do, but who knows? Yeah, I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not too eager to be in Vegas, because what is it going to be, all 9 o'clock games Eastern time here?
I know they have the amenities over there for sure, but, you know, I don't know about the distancing issue.
Yeah, I heard that Vegas... I heard the Strip's a ghost town so far, even though the state reopened. Yeah.
That surprises me. I'm actually thinking them as we get closer to when they want to play these games, I'm thinking it'll be a little bit more active, right. And I'm thinking the safest place to be might be on the ice.
Right.
That city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. We'll wait and see. And then I saw Bettman, I don't remember what show he was on, mentioned that they're figuring that they have to get this wrapped up by October 8th. So we're going to cram. We said it's going to be about 2 months, so that makes sense once they get going in August. Might be a little tight, but.
Right. So what's the haps then? So they wrap it up by October. Is there going to be a break at all, or is there they go right back into another training camp, or just go right back into the season?
No, I didn't see any info on that, so I'm not sure. I'd figure they got to give a couple weeks off, and then what? Getting started by end of November, beginning of December.
Right. You know that's an interesting point, because I look at the seven teams that aren't in the playoffs right now. And then the ones that are going to bow out early after this first qualifying round, I'm wondering if they're going to really come out of the chute with a little bit of an advantage.
Right.
Being there a little more fresh, because if Bettman wants to doesn't want to tamper with the following season, which is very important, mm-hmm. He's going to have to start that up. So a two-week, it'll be a two-week break. Probably for just obviously the two final teams, I can see maybe them getting a little bit of an advantage, having fresher legs and stuff. The timing might not be there, so it might be a wash. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting too.
Yeah, there's a lot to squeeze in because you got to move in. I'm sure they'll still have an NHL awards show, and then you're going to have the draft is going to take a weekend. Then you're going to need to do a lot of period of time for free agency. Then get the training camps. I mean, maybe a couple of these things, the training camp will run concurrently with the free agent. I'm not sure how they'll do that. I haven't heard anything definitive yet, actually really any plans of how they're going to segue into the next season.
I think the two main things are getting that Stanley Cup awarded and then get the draft out of the way, and then I think they'll spin everything off, off that as the central nervous system, so to speak. of the whole thing, the whole idea, and just play off that.
Right. Yeah. What if they, I guess if you think about it, there's probably potential they don't even get this thing started until January of 2021.
Yeah, see that's a failure to me then, Joe, because you know you don't want to be then you're tampering with two seasons. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's they need to get that season next season started no later than November, early November. So anything later is a failure, and if you're talking January, I think that's a monumental fail, and they're going to have to shorten the season down to another, you know, shortened season, like in a strike season or something.
Yeah, I heard something. I don't remember where I read it, if it was an opinion piece or if it was somebody in the league throughout a scenario, but it was something along the lines of, could this be what hockey looks like from now on, where they start in January, and this way they're playing playoffs through the summer, and they're only going head-to-head with baseball versus competing with the NFL season, college football, as well as the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I just know that hockey, with its rich history and records and everything, you're kind of tampering with that, just like any other sport would if they shorten their season. I know in Europe they play 45-game seasons. But, you know, I hope they don't go that route. I think they might be thinking that might be the way to go to get their product, you know, probably better, and really to understand, let people understand how important it is for a playoff gate as far as financial goes. They probably think that could be enough, but you know, keep in mind, you still got to pay these salaries and stuff. I wonder what that would do to a salary cap.
Yeah, I don't know what how it would affect it, especially if they played less games. You'd have to retroactivate that somehow. Take away, I don't know what they would do.
Yeah, so you try and come up with solutions that would make things better, but then you're adding two or three more dilemmas. You know, it's a glad I don't have to make those decisions, but I just think that they needed to get this moving a little quicker, maybe shorten that camp up and get this done, you know, so you can get the other season in by, you know, end of October would be ideal, actually. So really you're only missing 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. They used to have issues when they were sending the guys over to for the Olympics. I know there was other factors that worried about them, you know, getting hurt, and then it damages the product when the NHL season restarts. But even when they were taking those 2 weeks off, and then you figure they've been given each team sort of like a week bye at some point throughout the season, just those 3 weeks, it was really screwing up, and they were having issues, and teams were complaining about how the schedule was so compacted and they were playing so many games in such a short period of time. So with this upcoming 2021 season, it's going to be really tight, especially if they do try to squeeze it in by June. I don't see that there's any way that this doesn't, you know, tail into the middle of summer again in 2021.
Well, I guess they might have to do away with that for a season, those breaks, the seasonal breaks and stuff, and maybe forego an all-star game or, you know, that type of thing, just to get the thing in moderate time, you know, so you're not playing, like you said, into June and July. You want to get this done by, usually playoffs should be done by late May, third week of May. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's their problem.
Yep. Well, let's get into it. Let's cover the next three teams in the Metro Division. I mentioned before we talked Washington, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. So today on this show, we're going to cover the Carolina Hurricanes, Columbus Blue Jackets, and the New York Islanders. Again, looking at what kind of shape they're going to be in going into the 2021 season with what we know now, and maybe take a look at some options for them to improve each of their rosters. Maybe they're in a tight spot and potentially who might be on the board when it's their time to draft. So let's start with the Carolina Hurricanes. They played 68 games in this shortened season, put up 81 points, was the 11th best record in the NHL. When the 2020-2021, or for this 2020 draft, they're going to have 8 picks. Now, they're in a little interesting spot because 3 of those picks are conditional draft picks. So I can run down those when we get to that portion of it. But they're looking at, you know, they got four unrestricted free agents on their main roster, 2 restricted. They should be, judging by who they have to re-sign, they should be pretty tight up against the cap by the time they're done. So I don't know how much room they're going to have in free agency. They got about $11.6 million projected in cap space. You know, but they got Van Riemsdyk and Joel Edmondson on expiring contracts. If they decide to bring both of those guys back, they're going to be looking at a little bit of a pay raise. And then, of course, Hayden Fleury's a restricted free agent. His contract's up. So it's 3 key defensemen on that team right now. That's kind of the bottom three guys, but still very, very good defenders for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, most definitely, Joe. I'm looking over the free agents here, and you also have restricted free agents. You got Fogle, and who's a left winger. Justin Williams is out there, and he's almost like a renter player for them to plug in. It seems like that's how he might finish his career, is maybe come in the second half of every year as long as he's willing to produce like he has. I guess he had gotten 20 games in after people thought he was going to be retiring, and he was very productive, having 8 goals and 3 assists. And he logged 13 and a half minutes a game. So they thought maybe he'll be a big cog for the playoffs, and we'll talk about that probably in the next show. You also got Sammy Vatanen, another defenseman who was acquired by New Jersey at the trade deadline. Before the shutdown here. So the good thing about Carolina, and they're in a really good situation, Joe, and it's a team that intrigues me greatly because they're one of the youngest teams in the NHL, and their key players are already signed to long-term contracts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, the Canadians also did the Hurricane a favor, you know, by throwing an easy to match offer sheet to Aho last year.
Right. Yep.
So it really surprised me because then he came over and he was they tied him up for 5 years and didn't have to break the bank to do it. Mm-hmm. Out of those players, I mean, the main players that they have, there's only 2 guys that have more than a $5.5 million dollar hit. Mm-hmm. So you know, it looks good for them. You know, like I said, they got Teravainen, they got Jordan Staal and Aho, who's those 2 guys are the ones with that have the $5.5 million hit. And then you got Niederreiter and Vincent Trocheck, who was a great pickup in my eyes. They got him right before the deadline as well. And he could fill long-term center needs for them. And he's a pretty good bargain. Mm-hmm. Then you got Jacob Slavin, Brady Skyge, and Brett Pesce. All these guys are 26 or younger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then they have an option with Dougie Hamilton, who's got another year on his contract. And obviously you got Svechnikov and Martin Nikasa. They're both still tied up on entry-level deals. And they're not going to be unrestricted free agents, Joe, for another 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. So, you know, you talk about Carolina as a team, and the thing that impresses me about this team and why I think they're going to make noise in the playoffs this year, like they did last year, is they're a good team on the road. They're 19-13-3 on the road this year for a young team, and their power play is really good. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are looking up for them. What do you look at, Joe, as far as their goaltending's a little suspect to me. You agree with that? Or
Yeah, I don't. And Peter Mrazek's kind of streaky. We've talked about it before. He's a little showy in net. He does seem to play well in big games, but again, it's big one game, and then he kind of settles in, and he's pulled the next night. He's never really seemed to find that consistency. James Reimer, he's probably at 32. I don't know that he was ever really. I guess he's a serviceable starter, depending what team he was on. But I've never looked at him as, you know, kind of a go-to guy in net, and he's probably borderline backup goaltender on most teams in the league. So I think with this playoffs coming up, and you know, Carolina is going to be a part of this this playoff experiment this year, they're probably going to keep, you know, both those goalies, you know, through the end of their contracts and pick one of them at the end of that 2021 season and trade away. I didn't look at their goaltending prospects, if they have someone serviceable that they could bring in a backup role towards the end of a season. But yeah, they did play pretty well. I think they only gave up 193 goals this season. So that's in the top. That's probably the top seven or eight fewest goals given up this season. So, but we did mention they do have a really good defense core, so that helps out quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm very very high on their young defense. You got Slavin and Peace, you got Schaik, you got Gardner. Those guys are all locked in until the 22-23 seasons. And then, you know, you got some play, like I said earlier, with Dougie Hamilton, who's coming off an injury. I think he'll be ready for the playoffs, and that's one of the benefits of the shutdown. You got one of the best five-man units in the league right there, Joe, and they're all young.
Mm-hmm.
And the way their contracts are structured, it currently gives them a huge advantage to adding pieces next year as well.
Yep.
So I'm excited about that. And you mentioned the draft scenario for them, how they have many picks, but they got a weird scenario going on with their first-round picks. They hold two. First-round picks. There's in Toronto. But they owe New York, the Rangers, mm-hmm. in the trade for Brady Sky, you know, at the deadline.
Yep.
So the condition of the trade with New York was, I think, to send the worst of the two picks over to New York.
Yeah, whichever is later. Yep.
Yeah, so technically, if things shake out a certain way in the playoffs, and this is kind of what you mentioned in your little rant of the last show or two ago, only this is another dilemma it could present, is they could end up with no first-round picks.
Right.
So, you know how it works, right, Joe? The Maple Leafs, yep. They get that, could get a 1-3 spot,
yep.
Which I think you use them as an example.
Yep.
Or they can, be no lower than the top 10. You know, depending on how they did in that crazy, lottery deal they have going, and based on this qualifying round that was added in this playoff structure.
Yeah, yep. No, there's a chance. Yeah, Toronto loses in that qualifying round. And then I think if it went just on this points percentage, I don't think Toronto would be in the top 10. I think they'd come in at like 11. Right. So they'd have to be one of those teams that win the draft lottery and get the top three. And then in that case, yeah, Carolina would get Toronto's pick in 2021, and they would have to give up their pick to the Rangers. So yeah, they could end up with no first round picks.
So that's crazy. So that, you know, I remember we were talking, when we did the segment where we did the 1-5, the 6-10, and the 11-15 picks, and going over the players, and we were talking about Askarov, the goalie, mm-hmm. and I think you mentioned maybe he'd be a nice fit over there for a team, or a Minnesota, or one of those teams that had two picks or whatever.
Right.
I believe, you know, he would be a good pick if that was the case, but I got a feeling, you know, now that I know what I know about the fact that they aren't going to be awarded two picks, because they got to award one, and hopefully mm-hmm. they can keep theirs from Toronto.
Right.
But I think I think Carolina is going to go probably, what, around 19? They're going to pick around 19 maybe for their draft pick.
Yeah, you'd think that Toronto and Carolina, either way, if they get out of that first round, they're going to end up. Yeah, I mean, Carolina would have a better chance with their pick. Yeah, it's probably going to be a mid-round pick either way. I don't know how this is all going to break out now.
Well, I'm telling you, a nice pick would be a kid, a Russian kid, Rodion Amarov, okay? A lot of people are talking about this kid now. He kind of was one of those hidden gems that we discussed. And, you know, his name's starting to leak out now, and he can play all three forward positions. He's listed as a right winger. He's got good size. He's a 6'1", 181. He's kind of built like Fedorov. He could fill out, but he's probably one of the top all-around wingers in the draft, Joe. Just came out of nowhere. He's a quick release, an elite stick handler. The kid can skate, and he plays with an edge. So he can play in all situations because of those tangibles, and he's a finisher too. He basically is a nice solid body checker. So you're going to have this kid playing penalty kill, power play. He's one of these guys that could, you know, if he has enough IQ, and you could even ask him to play the point on the power play, and even if they turn the puck over, he won't get caught out of position, or it won't be a mismatch for a skilled forward coming down on him. So that's a nice pick in my eyes. And I think that's probably where they're looking to go, with their draft pick.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, where they, you know, if they get a mid round pick, who they take, but they got, you know, we talked, you know, they got their defense pretty solid. All those guys are really in the prime of their career. They have a young team up front, you know, Justin Williams being the only guy that's in his mid to late 30s. Other than that, Jordan Stahl's 31. All the other guys are fairly young. They got two really good guys in Ryan Suzuki and Dominic Bach. Suzuki played with his junior team this year, and Bach's on loan over in Europe. So I'd assume that he'd come to North America next season. Suzuki will probably get bumped up to the minor league, but those guys both have potential to knock on the door, and I don't know that Carolina has a roster spot for them with the age of their team.
I'm telling you, Joe, but it just goes to show you how organized they are over there. I believe it's Jimmy Rutherford over there, right? Or is he over in Pittsburgh?
They got Don Waddell's the GM over there.
Okay. Whoever's over there, he's doing a great job, and with these contracts and the age of these kids, and everything's kind of falling into place for them to really be a solid organization for a good 10-year run here. So that's the key to doing things right. And then on the other hand, you're looking at Kenny Holland, who kind of, I don't know what he was thinking after 2009, but all that caught up to him, and you see what it can do to an organization.
Right.
It could set you behind 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. So whatever Carolina did, and the way these players are coming in, you can afford to keep a Stahl and Justin Williams and play him the way you want to play him, and make him a valuable player in certain situations, because he is one of the best money players of all time in the NHL. Throughout his career, he's proven it. So based on the way they're structured and the young talent they have, they can afford to do these little nuanced moves that you saw with Justin Williams. So I'm excited to see where this team goes. I mean, I really like their power play. I like what I saw last year, and they're only going to be tougher. And, you know, it's some experts are saying the Rangers, just because they beat them all four games this year, they're going to run right through them, and I just don't see that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we didn't even talk about Andrei Svechnikov yet, and Martin Necas. Those guys are going to be some stars on this team.
Exactly. I briefly brought their names up, but yeah, you those two guys, I mean, they're like I said, they're on Joe, they're on entry level deals for six more years. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it just makes their cap much more flexible, and you know, Carolina probably not the biggest market, obviously, but I'm sure it will be a destination where players won't balk at going. So, right. You know, it depends what they're doing over there. And think you, what do you got, Brind'Amour as the coach over there?
Yeah, Brind'Amour's still the coach.
Yeah, and he's very liked. He's you know, people like playing for him, and I've heard nothing but good things about him. And he kind of approaches the bench the same way he did as a player, and so they got a lot of really good things going over there. I really look for them to be a team in the Metropolitan Division that really bumps up into that top three, you know, into that discussion with Washington, Pittsburgh, and Philly. So that's going to be a real tough division in the next few years, based on what I'm seeing these rosters morphing into.
Right. Well, that's our Carolina Hurricanes. We get to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They finished with 81 points, so tied with Carolina for the 11th best in the league. I think their point percentage puts them down a little bit. They're going to have 5 picks in this upcoming draft. They don't have a second or third round pick, so they're going to pick 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7. They have quite a few guys on restricted free agents contracts that are coming up, 8 of them. So that could be quite the interesting predicament for them, depending on who they want to pay. If they're going to have about $8.9 million in projected cap space to work with, so Columbus might find themselves in a tight spot this offseason.
Yeah, they will, Joe. And but the thing that I like about Columbus is, and we'll talk about them in the next show as well, because they're going to be facing a young Maple Leaf team who people seem to think are primed to make a run. But the thing I like about Columbus, Joe, is a lot of their draft picks are still with them. And I'm talking about even like from 8 years ago. A lot of guys are sticking out, which to me proves that they're drafting properly, and they're valuing the players they're drafting enough to keep them.
Right.
And allow them to develop. And a guy like Josh Anderson, who was drafted in 2012, he's a restricted free agent. They missed him this year, Joe. You know, and this team already lacks scoring punch. It's been that way for a few years now. And that tells you how good their defensive core is and how heavy they are to play against. They're a very heavy team, and they really put the pressure on you with their body and their physical game. And Josh Anderson had a posterior labral tear, I believe it's a shoulder. And with this layoff, he, I believe, is probably ready to go for the playoffs.
Right.
You also got Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's another 6'3" kid like Josh Anderson. And then you got Gerikov, who's another 6'3" kid. And these guys are all like 215 to 220. In the weight department, and Gerikov is a defenseman. He was also drafted in 2015 in round 6. So they're finding these guys, and Tortorelli likes this kid, Joe. Basically, he says if you look at the kid, he's all arms and everything, but he looks real ugly when he plays. He's not the most fluid guy. You know, on the eyes as well, but he doesn't get beat. He does not get beat on one-on-ones. His length is very good. Kid's logging almost 19 minutes a game, and he's a plus one. You know, he's got 18 points. So guys like this, you know, and Atkinson had an off year, but they're going to need these guys to come up big in the playoffs, and that might erase the frustrating year they had. But you can't go wrong, Joe, with another kid they got is Jonas Corposalo. He's a goaltender that they're pretty high on. Mm-hmm. Elvis Merz Likens, another kid that showed well enough to warrant another maybe contract. They call his contract basically a show me deal right now because he had to prove himself, and I think he did that this year. And he's said to have been the best goalie outside the NHL last year, so that's saying a lot. He's basically quick, and he's pretty versatile in the nets. He's got a great attitude, and they're looking to get those two guys in the mix. Korpisalo became an all-star, so they're looking good in the pipes, in between the pipes, Joe. And these guys are both restricted free agents. You also got Kevin Steenland, who's a 6'4" forward, a center, once again in the 2015 draft. So you see a theme here, Joe. These guys are being groomed patiently in the minors, and Tortorella believes this guy can be a top nine forward. He's got a great shot, and he could help their power play because he's really good below the dots. So they do have some prospects in the organization, and ones that have been playing already that are kind of, need to be re-signed soon. But they're looking good. It's just the cap space, like you mentioned, is going to be a problem for bringing in some reinforcements that have already been proven NHLers. That could be, posed to be a problem for them. So some of these guys they drafted are basically going to have to start putting some pucks in the net and maybe going beyond expectations so they can be more than a one-dimensional team, Joe.
Yeah, and they got Nick Foligno, who I think is one of the better captains in the league. He's not someone you're going to hear a lot about. He's not flashy, but he plays really well, and he really came into his own once he left Ottawa and joined the Columbus Blue Jackets. He seemed to get better. He just fit into their system. I think he's a real good leader for that crop of young guys that they have. And then you got the young Zach Werenski. He put up 20 goals this season from the blue line, and he's not a liability back there either.
No, I like Werenski, the local boy, and he fits well with Seth Jones. They probably comprise the top two, number one defensive pairing in the league. Let's face it, that's the core of their team. That's the mainstay right there, is that elite defense they have. And they really don't have an elite goal scorer or playmaker. I'm thinking the draft, they need to be searching one out. Mm-hmm. But they do have critical components in their foundation. It's the two guys you just mentioned, Werenski and Seth Jones, which is going to give them long-term success and always keep them around. And Tampa Bay knows that all too well from last year. Mm-hmm. So you also got Pierre-Luc Dubois. We he's a top line center. I think Cam Atkinson needs to have bounce back. I would say season, but now that it's been enough time with this layoff that we've had, both him and as I mentioned before, Josh Anderson could come back and basically make a difference in the playoffs. And so maybe they can have a little retribution this year, after all.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there, Joe. But I think the long-term needs of this organization is maybe at the center position. They need playmakers. They lack scoring. I mean, they do have some guys, like I'm sure you heard of the kid, Alexander Texier. They could put him in that role, but he had a back injury, and it kind of derailed him a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I think that kid could come up. He's pretty good below the dots as well, especially in his own zone, Joe. So Tortorella likes guys like that can come in and maybe put up some offense, but yet they're mainly responsible below the dots, working with their defensemen. This kid's a good safety valve center. He really reads the play well and could bail out his defensemen by breaking pressure and stuff with his creativity and his ability to handle the puck. He's not afraid to do it. So you got to have a little swagger to do that. And this kid looks like he might be the real deal. And unfortunately, like the back injury derailed that. But it'll be interesting to see. I'd be like having another draft pick, Joe. So mm-hmm. If this kid can get healthy, maybe we'll see him in the playoffs too. I'm not really sure where we're at with the back injury. I haven't heard anything on it yet. But that'll be interesting to kind of follow as well, because that's going to be a quite a unique series, Toronto and Columbus. But keep in mind, Joe, that another thing that you got to look at is in the big spectrum of things with this team is they had 15 overtime shootout losses. Mm-hmm. So you're figuring if they could have won any of those, I mean, you're talking about 15 points there, possibly more. They could have pulled away from the pack pretty substantially.
Right.
If they would have done fairly well in that. I think the Wings had the same year where they had the same scenario. Could have seeded them a lot better. I remember they played, I think, Boston in the first round, so they were in the eighth seed or something. But if they would have won even half of their shootout games,
right,
they probably could have pushed right into that third slot, and they would have got a better matchup. And it might have carried them away from all their, you know, right, those physical teams that they have trouble matching up against.
Right.
So, you know, but you talk about draft possibilities, Joel. I mean, what do you think their need is? I mean, do you think it's just goal scoring, or what if a kid like Sanderson is there on the board for them? Oh, you think they would take him, even though he's kind of like a Warinsky clone?
Right. Yeah, I didn't look too much at their defense. You know, they got a couple of young guys, but they're not. They're more, you know, college signed players. They don't have really anyone that's a drafted high level prospect on the blue line. You know, they got a couple guys up front. I think you mentioned Tarasov. He's probably ready. I mean, he was on loan over in Russia this past season. I would assume that he's going to come over and play in North America. And if he starts off the year playing well down in the minors, I think he's, you know, primed to get called up, especially if there's an injury. And I think he might even be good enough to play, so he could, you know, put some pressure on Korpisalo. We've seen it with these other teams; they'll put two young goalies in and let them battle it out. So yeah, I think they're good there. If I was them, I don't know if they can take Sanderson. Maybe they're in a spot where they'll trade back if they find themselves in that spot and try to land a second or third round pick, along with going back in the first round if they can land another pick, because it is a deep draft.
Yeah, Joe, I'm looking here. They've only had the first round pick. They've only had it twice in the last 4 years. So even if they did take Jake Anderson, okay, if he's available, and I don't think he will be, but he'd be a nice piece to add, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, you'd be taking it would almost like they'd be taking the best player logic,
right?
Available logic that with that pick, but because really their defense is pretty sound, and their minors is developed a lot of guys too to plug in as well. So, but I'm thinking if they do take him, he would fit in and slot nicely into that second pairing. Mm-hmm. They could be pretty deadly over there and just shut teams down.
Yeah, they have.
But listen, go ahead.
No, they don't even have a 30-year-old defenseman on that roster. Savard will be 30 at the end of the season, but it's almost, I mean, they're young and they're really good. So I don't know what you do with a defenseman, because it's not, you know, if they did take Sanderson, they're not going to be able to plug him in for a while. Maybe, I guess he could come in and they could decide not to re-sign Savard. But there's nobody aging ready to move out with a need for someone to plug in.
Well, it could be that thing where you bring him in, you plug him in. He's got that entry-level contract, much like so a lot of players in Carolina do, and then you get rid of a heavy contract back there. But it wouldn't be a bad pick. But, Joe, I have about seven other players that I think that would fit the bill for them in the draft. Let's go with Noel Gundler. And okay. We talked about him a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, this kid's a very risky pick, but a very high reward if he does pan out. It's a gamble because he has a suspect attitude, but this kid has top 10 skill. And,
right.
You know, the problem with it is, though, over the years and engaging how Columbus operates, they usually covet character guys. So this may keep them away from Noel. And it might push him towards this kid that we brought up a couple other times, Dylan Holloway.
Okay.
Which
yep.
Kid could be a steal. He fits that Columbus mold of just being a very physical, you know, big body, you know. And I think the only way they'll get this kid is if people look at his freshman year where he didn't have very productivity as far as in his numbers. So this could drop him. People are that, you know, finicky about players.
Right.
They could hold that against him, and he could make him available. If he was, I'd take him.
Right.
Probably over Anderson, because I think it would fit, you know, fill a void that they have right now. Another kid, I think that they could go for next, and you like this guy. He's one of the top, probably top six centers in the draft, Connor Zeri.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great character, great work ethic, and he'll probably land in that 15 to 20 pick range, which Columbus maybe could get there. I mean, where are they projected, Joe?
If the draft was now, let me see. I got to pull it back up just so I can get it. If we went just based off of how the season finished, they would pick, where are you, Columbus? They would slot in right at 15. This mock draft's got them taking Jack Quinn.
Okay. Well, ironically, that's my next player I'm mentioning, so it's funny you should mention that.
There's that whole group of guys, Dawson Mercer, Connor Zeri, Jack Quinn, and Seth Jarvis, that could probably go anywhere from 10 to 20.
Yeah, and you know, this kid's interesting, Joe, because we talked about him, and a lot of people are, you know, he could be there for even the teams that are successful in the playoffs, because this kid, basically, I'd take him over Rossi. And I think a lot of people think his success was due to Rossi, but we kind of uncovered the fact, and I brought up some points why that wasn't the case, because they never really played with each other other than maybe an occasional power play.
Right.
So his play was predicated on his own doing and the players that maybe he played with. But if he was still there, I would take him. That would be the guy I would take.
Yep.
Here's another kid, Jan Misak.
Okay.
This kid has the top 15 skills, Joe. But he's an electric player. He's one of them guys that you notice when he's on the ice, much like the kid from Portland. What was his name again? I'm trying to remember his name. Jarvis. Seth Jarvis. Same type of player. You just notice him. He's an electric kid. He's just like always around the puck. He's intelligent, you know, and he's produced pretty much and adjusted at every level that he's played. So that's something, there's something to be said for that. And guys like that, you can usually, you know, get in the later rounds, and because they're intelligent, they can maybe develop a lot quicker than maybe, say, an earlier guy who doesn't have the IQ, but maybe he has a better skill set than him at the moment. And then there's this Rodion Amarov kid again. You know, I think he would fit in well with Columbus as well, because he'd basically be a playmaker. You know, so we'll see. Actually, no, he's correct that. He's a goalie. I'm wrong. I wrote that wrong. But he, this kid is basically, like I said before when we talked to about how I think he would be a good player for Carolina as well, but this kid's just got an all-around polished game, and that could bode well for him to be an immediate impact player as well. So, and then the last one, Joe, we talked about was Dawson Mercer. His name's going to be coming up. A lot of these teams that might have long runs in the playoffs, this kid might last. He's a 200-foot player. His skating might keep him back in, you know, in the draft a little bit in the first round. But he's smart, and he makes up for his skating with his high IQ. He'd be what's deemed as a safe pick, Joe. And he's another kid that you could plug in, and, you know, he'd be a consistent pro for 10 to 15 years. So not a sexy pick, but, you know, Columbus isn't a sexy team. They need sexy right now.
Right.
They need a player that can come in and be a facilitator and a guy that can, you know, help put some goals on the board, because they, And they got to do it every night by committee as far as a defensive style. And that's tough to do.
Right. Right. There's our Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's wrap up with the New York Islanders. They played 68 games this season at 80 points, which slots them in as the 14th best team in the NHL. They're going to have 5 picks in 2020, and they're in that nice position where they don't have a pick until the third round. They got 5 unrestricted free agents, 3 restricted free agents. We know one of those unrestricted guys, their goalie Thomas Greiss, he's looking for a starting job, so he's not going to be back with that team. They're projected right now to have about $12.5 million in cap space heading into this offseason.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, and this is tough because they have 3 free agent priorities. And Matt Barzal, Ryan Pulock, defenseman, and Devin Toews, okay, who's another defenseman. They have about $13.4 million to sign these 3 guys, and I don't think that's going to happen. So you might see Toews being the odd man out here. Now, good thing about it is you got guys coming off the books. Like you mentioned Thomas Greiss already. You got Derek Brassard, Tom Konecny, and Matt Martin, who I believe those are the 2 guys you might want to, you know, make them – probably re-sign them at a value contract.
Right.
Scenario. Okay. So that basically would help them a little bit. I think out of the 3, obviously you're signing Barzal. That's a given, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows the leading scorer on the team and how he dominates when he's on the ice. Pulock is a pretty diverse player though. He's a good D-man. He's a top-pairing defenseman. He can play on the power play, Joe, the penalty kill. He has some offensive flash to his game. I think he's going to be looking to be paid probably McAvoy money or the kid we mentioned in Columbus, Werenski. Probably 3-year deal, around $5 million.
Yep.
Maybe backloaded on that last year. So I don't think because of that, Barzal and this guy, I don't think they're going to have enough money to sign Toews, but they may get lucky if the NHL is supposed to raise the salary cap an extra $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So this may help them out. And, you know, they may have to move Boychuk.
Right.
So Boychuk's making pretty hefty contract right now, and I believe his $6 million a year goes down to $4 million. Personally, I think he was overpaid.
Yeah.
But he also, there's a tricky thing to that, Joe. He's got that no trade clause, which usually throws a wrench into a lot of things. But so their cap room is getting a little dicey. You know, they need to really get that thing pushed up around $15 million to be able to get those 3 guys signed. And I know they want to get that done. So we'll be watching for that. The new faces, you got goaltender Ilya Sorokin, okay? He looks to team up with the Semyon Varlamov. He wants to make the roster and you know, team up with Varlamov for the goaltending tandem for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Wahlstrom. Remember him from the National?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah, I think he's ready to make an impact. And he could slide in and become a top 6 forward, you know, play him alongside of Barzal. That could be a pretty lethal combination because this Wahlstrom kid can shoot the puck.
Yeah, he can. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then you got Kovoila, Otto. He's projected to make the team and earn, some minutes. And he might take those minutes that were, given to Brassard at the time. So he will be he could be signed to a value contract as well, you know, and once again to keep that cap manageable, not just for this year but for next year as well. So what do you think their needs are, Joe?
Well, I was going to ask you a question first here.
Okay, sure.
I'll cut in. What do you think Lou Lamoriello is going to do with the pain in the ass that is Josh Hosang? He's on a restricted deal. They don't see eye to eye at all. in that organization. Are they going to qualify him and try to trade him, or are they just going to let his contract expire and let him sign somewhere else? Because they haven't had any luck getting rid of him.
No, I think we talk about reputations, Joe, and players give themselves reputations. You don't want to be messing with a guy with Lou Lamoriello's reputation, because players respect him. And if you got a guy that's bumping heads with him, you know, that's going to red flag everybody in the league. So, yeah, now you can't get rid of this guy, but this makes it tough for him to find a home and settle in. So he'll end up with one of those teams that, you know, will deal with him because they're in the shape they're in as mm-hmm. far as their depth or something. You know, but he's one of them guys that is always going to be bounced around, because once a team settles that problem, you know, then they don't want to deal with this guy anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Lou might cut ties with him. He's got some other people that can fill that role. You got any other players, Joe, you think might fill his role?
They got Kiefer Bellows coming through. Hosang is a pretty good playmaker. I think Bellows is more of a goal scorer than a playmaker. Yeah. I don't know. And obviously, you know, Wallstrom's a sniper. They got that Simon Holmstrom. I think he's a little bit more of a playmaker. He's not ready yet. So I don't know that they have anyone.
Well, what position
prospect
did he play?
Prospect-wise, he's a winger. Is he right wing? Yeah, he's a right wing slash center.
Okay, they got a kid that Lou Lamoriello loves. His name is Noah Boykel. He's a 6'1", 180-pound kid out of Lethbridge. Tough kid. He's only 17 right now, Joe, and he's got solid offensive skills. So he could be the guy that fills the void there and bring you in a better character guy that you don't have to babysit.
Right.
You also got, you know, some other, you know, you can draft him, okay, which you could probably get him in the later rounds. I know the Islanders don't have a first-round pick, okay? What do they start at, the third round?
Third, yep. They're not picking until round three.
Yeah, they had to get rid of that first round for Jean-Gabriel Pageau. They got him from Ottawa. So basically, they got third through the seven. And I'm looking at the Islanders are notorious for picking up Finnish goalies, too, mm-hmm. and developing. So they got Blauquist, who they might pick up. A kid named David Ma, who's a defenseman out of Shattuck,
right?
St. Mary's. You got left winger Trevor Kuntar, you know, who plans on going to Harvard out of the USHL right now. Ma is supposed to go to Princeton. So these guys aren't going to be picks that when you're dealing with 3 to 7, you're basically getting guys that are going to probably go off to college. Mm-hmm. Or the minors, and I think this Boyko kid might be the ticket, you know, coming out of Lethbridge and filling that void at right wing. But and then there's a center, Tristan Robbins, who's pretty skilled, still needs more strength, upper body strength, but he's skilled as all get out, and he gets his wingers involved. You got another goalie, Markkanen, who's a tall, rangy goalie. Needs to pick up his strength. He's another Finnish goalie that they can groom along with Blomqvist, and you might have a 1-2 tandem of Finnish goalies over there. And then there's other guys like Alex Young, who's a kid that's going to play. He's a right winger, a great facilitator. He's going to Colgate to play. And Alex Laferriere is a right winger out of Des Moines in the United States Hockey League. He's a very interesting player, as well as Ruben Rafkin, who plays for the Spitfires, a very physical defenseman, but can have discipline problems on the ice. They're not a team that's going to get well, Joe, with the draft picks this year. They're stockpiling and pushing these guys and hoping other teams can develop them. And then, you know, in a year or two, they can check back with them and see if they've got a diamond in the rough there.
Right. Yeah, another guy that interests me that might be available. He's one of those guys that ranks anywhere from 31 to, I think, 83 or 93. Is it that Sam Colangelo, that right winger out of Chicago, USHL?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think
he's someone big, and he skates good puck handler. He likes to shoot the puck, but I don't know if he'd be a good fit since he's another shoot first kind of a guy, but he's someone that intrigues me because, like I said, he's rated anywhere from the last pick in round one to the last pick in round three, depending on what prospect.
He sounds like a hockey player, doesn't he, Joe?
Yeah.
It's just one of those names that sounds like you can hear. You know, I used to do that when I was a kid, you know, you get my Bruce Martin voice out, you know, and start doing my Bruce Martin imitation and, you know, saying a kid's name. And if it just sounded true, you know, it's like, he's probably a hockey player. You know, kind of a weird way to look at it. But, yeah, like when you mentioned his name, he sounded like a hockey player. But I guarantee you, if he can skate and he's got some size, I mean, you know, there's a – those guys, you know, you might want to, you know, put them on the shelf and say, hey, you know, if he's available, I'm going to take him because there might be something there.
Right. Yeah, he's an interesting pick. And that's once you get into that, you know, actually, once you get out of the top 10, it's pretty much a crapshoot on where all these guys are ranked. You see it on the alleged experts list, and you know they vary amongst all 31 teams. The third round, depending who's there, there could be a guy like Colangelo that maybe, you know, the Islanders are looking at and think that he is a late first round talent and he's still on the board and it's someone you just can't pass up.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, Bellows, you know, and I forgot about him. And, you know, they had Wahlstrom and, you know, like there was another kid too that they drafted that it was pretty good draft pick, and I'm thinking these guys have got to be ready to go too. So it's one of those things where you get these prospects that are probably in their second and third year of development, so they're either make or break, man. So it's almost like getting a draft pick, you know. It's, you know, it's just, and that's what they're going to be looking at this year in the draft. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are going to go off to college, their bodies are going to grow, and you know, they may come back, you know, being a proper pick for them, you know, in that good return on your investment type pick. You just got to be patient. And, you know, the Islanders are going to, what they're going to do is basically do what they do. I think Barry Trotz is their coach, right?
Yeah, Trotz has been turning around ever since he got there.
Yeah, and the Islanders, Joe, have, no matter who's coached them since, you know, the days where they won those five cups or whatever with the Trotches and the Bossies, and then they had to rebuild and everything. But even after that, they've always been a team that has worked hard. Whether they had no talent during the Kasparaitis days, but they pull off an upset against maybe Pittsburgh or somebody in the playoff. But they always had those teams that worked hard, and you knew you were going to have to work to beat them. And that's one thing they're doing right now. And so you can buy a little time with a team like that because the fan base won't get frustrated. Fan bases just want honest, hard work.
Right.
Yeah, eventually you're going to want to see productivity for that hard work. But, you know, blue collar, you can never go wrong with a hardworking team. And if they're playing their system, they're going to win games. And when they had that long playoff run a couple years ago, they basically did that, and with the same type of team they have now, and they did that right the years they didn't have Tavares. So people were probably wondering what's going to be their playoff fate. Do they have enough scoring punch? But, you know, they do have guys on that team that can turn around and bite you if you make a mistake. And they do play that New Jersey Devil, you know, back in the day, early mid-90s rap.
Right.
You know, but they can turn it back around on you, and they can make you pay with Anders Lee and guys like that, and Barzell and the like. So, you know, I think as long as they can continue to do that until some of these players pan out. But, man, I don't know if they should have been giving away their first-round pick this year, knowing it was a deep draft. I kind of question that move.
Yeah, knowing it's a deep draft, it's a chance to cash in no matter where you're picking at. And I do, just to go back on what you were saying, that Islanders, they remind me of that classic mid-90s team where they can roll all four lines and they don't have to worry on most nights putting their fourth line out against the other team's best lineup and letting them rough them up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you got Clutterbuck. I think Clutterbuck's there, right?
Yeah, Clutterbuck, yeah. Martin, and I can't remember who that third guy is they throw out there.
Yeah, but they come at you, and they're built for the playoffs too,
right.
Even though they're not extremely sizable. But I just than Columbus, maybe, let's say, but right. they beat you a different way, and that's going to be an interesting series too, because they're going against a team too that's has sizable forwards and kind of gambles a little bit to get scoring chances, so they'll give up a little bit. And that might play right into the Islanders' style, and we'll talk about that in probably the next show, because I think we're talking about the matchups in the qualifying round, but I'll leave people wanting to get to that show too and give it a listen, because it's going to be something.
Yeah, well, let's wrap it up. Let's Carolina, Columbus, and the Islanders, the 4, 5, and 6 teams in the Metropolitan Division. We'll wrap up the Metropolitan Division covering the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils the next time that we talk about our season outlook. Until then, Tom and Joe, we'll see you back here next time on The Lighter Side.